Hey everybody, and welcome along to this week's edition of the Irish Golfer Podcast, brought to you in association with TaylorMade Golf. We all know about the Stealth Driver and its carbon fiber face. Now with a major win under its belt since we last broadcast, since then TaylorMade have also released its new Tour Response golf ball, a tour level golf ball for non-tour players. It takes the best tech from TP5, TP5X in a softer compression ball, and it's also available in TaylorMade's new stripe alignment system, which will help you hole more putts. There's a mouthful to start the pod off with.
Wow. I thought when we last broadcast, I thought you were going to be like the R11S or something. It's been a while.
It's been a while, but yeah, apologies. It's been 4 weeks since our last confession. I'm joined, as always, by John Craven. Johnny.
Good to be back, Pete. Does this mean I'm off the PUP payment?
Yeah, you're done now. You're done. You have to come off.
I'll fill out the forms. Good to be back.
So, yeah, apologies. We've had, like, there's been all sorts. So we've both had holidays. There's been bouts of COVID. There's been all sorts going on. So, yeah, it's been just over 4 weeks since we last broadcast. So we've had a lot of emails and a lot of messages saying, lads, he's dead.
I can't believe people want this thing. It's great to hear. And I think as special reward, Pete's invited me into his hotel room for a special recording this week.
Yeah, outside broadcast, we're here at the PGA National in Slieve, Russell, this week. So
a good day for the playoffs. A lot to play for this week.
Serious amount to play for. So we're here in Slieve, Russell, where the top 21 players are playing off over a three-day tournament. So top 21 players from GB and I, we've three Irish representative. We have Richard Kilpatrick, David Higgins and Simon Thornton, who's got off to a flyer today. We'll talk about that now in a minute.
Yeah, really impressive. 25 grand up for grabs. You were saying that like the status lads are going to have if they win this week.
Yeah, they get seven. I think it's seven invites. It's six anyway.
Yeah.
So to European, if you win it, like you're into BMW, you're into Irish Open, you're in next week to the British Masters.
Kazoo Open, yeah. ISPS Handleworld Invitational, Kazoo Classic and the Scottish Hero Open. It's unreal.
Honestly, like it's a crazy amount on the table for one guy to go away with. And like we were talking about before we went on air, they'll probably have a better tour status than Niall Kearney. It's shocking.
It
really
is bananas.
That like I don't mean it's shocking that they're giving away this here. It's shocking that like a man that finished where he did in the European Tour, he's just struggling. I know we'll get into that again, but it's just you'd pull your hair out if you were a touring pro.
You would. No, it's crazy. But yeah, opportunity seriously knocks. No one's getting ahead of themselves. We had lots of post-round interviews there. Everyone's staying in the moment. But good old Simon Thornton and all his practice paid off again.
Yeah, like golf is just such a weird game. He caught up with us literally only in the last hour. And like I know, we both know Simon well. He just doesn't practice, he's so talented, it's unbelievable. And I was like, right, so you've played one round of golf this year, I seen. He was like, yeah, I played one competitive round in the K Club 2 days ago. Didn't really go quite well, shot 77. And I was like, all right, and so what was the mindset coming here? And he goes, nothing, put the clubs in the car, drive up the road, come here. Hit a few balls, go out and play, and there you go. Opening 68, two shots clear of everyone else. Like, just
unbelievable. Nearly machine. Missed his tee time as well, you were saying.
Could have easily had a two-stroke penalty. He literally arrived on the tee. So he said he was here, I think he had the family with him, he said, didn't he, earlier in the week.
Dropped the watch in the pool or
something
like that.
Dropped the watch. Watch was 5 minutes slow. And he literally, at about 4 minutes to five, I seen him. So walking around, he's just come out of pro shop, like, and then heads onto the putting green, which is still like a couple of minute walk to the first tee, unless you're jumping fences at Slieve Russell. And came like, it was literally a minute to nine, still no sign. And they were like, are we going as a two ball or what's going on? And the starter had to go over and say, is Simon? And then he goes, oh, do I not have 5 minutes? And no, you're playing second in the group and you've about 55 seconds to get yourself prepped. So he got up onto the tee anyway and
probably
ripped one down.
Bother on him.
Proper baller.
Ah, easy game. But yeah, no, good to be back. Good to be here. We've missed it a lot, obviously, but I guess most recently there's been a lot of news. Irish golf, full stop.
Yeah. Yesterday was a huge day. So Monday at the K Club, we... It was a badly kept secret. I think a load of people knew about it. But a huge announcement, like a 6-year deal, Horizon that we knew of already, supporting, sponsoring the new headline sponsor of the Irish Open. But for it to go to one venue, so a 6-year deal at the one venue, at this year starting off with the Irish Challenge, then the Irish Open, then the Irish Challenge, then the Irish Open, Irish Challenge, Irish Open.
Up to the Ryder Cup.
Leading us up to 2027, which is, it's phenomenal.
It is really good news.
It comes with, oh no, I hear a
but. Yeah, I know, the but, yeah. The but will come eventually, because I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't say the but. But like, being real, it's like, it's long-term stability for a tournament that hasn't really had it.
Absolutely. Recently, it is the biggest, it's the biggest injection in the Irish Open since Rory McIlroy did. Like, what Michael Federsen has done now is on the same level. And all the people at the K Club, what they have done is on the same level as what Rory McIlroy did to really put new enthusiasm and drive into the Irish Open. They now have a base that they know of, and to bring the challenge, this is a bigger thing for
me. Yeah,
to bring the challenge tour in, and that's where we're going to see the Irish lads kicking on, you know, so the way, like, yeah, it's such a big deal.
Yeah, it's huge. And off the back of momentum with, obviously, Horizon becoming title sponsor as well. Yeah, I think you have to be real. I remember chatting to McGinley earlier this year about it, and I put it to him, because obviously we're going back to Mount Juliet this year for Irish Open, and kind of had it in the back of my mind, like the K-Club's going down the track or whatever, and I was just saying to him, having hosted, and he talked so much about the difficulty in attracting players, and I just said, like, given where it is in the schedule 2 weeks out from the Open, like the likes of John Rahm has openly said that he's not going to play at Parkland or whatever, like, do you think it would be in the Irish Open's best interest to be on the Lynx course? And he just said, like, it's such an ask for a venue to put up, like, 6 or 7 million quid to host, that if anyone's offering and willing to do that, you have to listen.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, I don't know the economics or who was bidding or whatever, but I can't imagine it was a long list.
Well, and there was no one to compete with the K Club.
Yeah.
On what they've invested in golf, on what they've done and are doing. Like, what, like, this is just the tip of the iceberg for them. Like, what they're doing to the golf course on the Parma North course is nothing short. Like, we all know what happened at Adair Manor with, like, they went in and they spent a year, dug the course up, relayed it. Like, the K-Club have done pretty similar. Like, and it's like
all 12-week turnaround.
All 18 fairways dug up, like, you can estimate about half a metre of sand put down. They've new tee boxes gone in on a few holes. Like, it is proper investment on the golf course, and really just brings this golf course right up to as good as you will get in the country on a parkland layout. Like, it's phenomenal, and it'll be playable all year round. It's full spec tournament conditions, and like, I had a bit of a catch up yesterday with Jerry Byrne, going through some of the tweaks and changes and what they're able to do. Like, they've re-sown everything, which is, it's frightening.
Yeah,
but it's serious work.
Like, the boom is back, Pete. Like, you can't afford to buy a house, can't afford rent, can't afford to play the K Club anymore, probably. But it's dead. Like, it is like an iconic Irish venue, obviously, going back.
That's one thing, though. Do you know what? It's one thing. And, like, yeah, we're saying the boom is back, can't afford this, can't afford the K Club. Like, the one thing that the K Club is more now than it ever was before, even though they're spending that sort of money, the natural progression of things, you would think, yeah, they're going to exclude people. It's the opposite. New clubhouse the other side on the south course, like, new clubhouse and menus totally different, family friendly. Like, it really is. And this is not an ad for the K Club, it's just because we're so close to the place. I live so close to the place.
Well, they let our events
I spend a lot of time up there. And like, what they've done is remarkable. And, like, we're talking about this in the time since we did our last pod, they've signed Leona Maguire as touring professional. They've signed Seamus Power as touring professional. Like, there's just, it's like, the momentum that is with that resort is phenomenal. It's some achievement to do in 2 years of ownership, what he has done and all his staff.
It is, like, Matt, I was looking it up today, just thinking, like, how long has he been there? Like, given all that's been done, I was like, yeah, it started 2020. I was like, geez, it feels like it's been 5 years plus.
Yeah.
Like, it's some amount of work. But yeah, Irish golf needs it. Like, people are kidding themselves if they think that there's all this money being thrown around and everyone would love to host it. Like, if anything, it can be an inconvenience to host these big tournaments.
Yeah.
Like, in saying that, like, do what I like to see on a Lynx course? Yeah.
I think we all would.
Yeah, it makes sense. Like, we'll get better fields. it's just not the reality, sadly. Like, Scottish Open has that slot, and even if it wasn't a links course, yeah, we get a couple of better players probably.
But Renaissance isn't even a links course, I know. That's the thing. So it doesn't...
It's such a waste of a slot.
And Seamus Power was asked this, you know, and it's... you normally get the stock answers of, oh, does it need to move or does it fit? Most players do like... You know, it's a 50-50 split, I suppose. Players like to take the week off before a major and find their own way in. That's how Shane won at Portrush. Played the Irish Open in Lahinch, took a week off, went with his dad, played at Dare Manor and
Portmarnock
and a few places like that. Just went around, skipped the Scottish Open. Rory has skipped the Scottish Open numerous times. You know, it's people just make their own minds up as how they want to prepare for the Open. So I don't think... I would like to see the Irish Open always on a links. I am traditionalist like that. But having a host venue like the K Club and Mount Julia, like we can't forget Mount Julia as well.
Yeah, definitely.
What they've done the last couple of years. It's huge. It's huge for us to have that stability. We're not waiting year to year now to say, oh, where's it going? Where's it going? There is those in-between years.
A links course.
It'll probably will. It'll go north for a couple of them. I know from talking to Simon Alice over the last couple of days, the tournament director, like it will drift. But it'll be interesting to see what they do with these events. Like there is talk of different things that they're looking
at. The date isn't confirmed, I guess, for July for the next 6 years, is it?
It is next year.
It is next year, but like going forward,
it won't. It will be a co-sanctioned event. They won't admit it will be a co-sanctioned event. I'm sure they're contractually obliged to stuff with the Genesis Scottish Open this year and things aren't quite worked out, but I'm pretty confident it will be a co-sanctioned event by the time we roll around to the K Club next year. It will be a PGA Tour, European Tour.
And I do think people need to appreciate that. Like, if you look at some of the prize pots going in a lot of golf mad countries across Europe, like a lot of people would love to be in our position with a $6 million event.
It's massive.
It's one of the best events on the DP World Tour. So you have to appreciate it. Like, I was looking at the schedule to see if there was anywhere, like, where else could you put it if it, like, we're going to persist with a parkland course and you don't want this link swing. Like, the only other really good spot is the Maid in Himmerland, and that's the week before the BMW in September. It's the week after the Tour Championship. So it's a nice window, but like, it's pretty arrogant of us to say, yo, Denmark, we'll take your tournament there, even though you have some quality players.
And do you know what? There might be a bit of joined up thinking like that the closer we get to the Ryder Cup, because that's a key Ryder Cup qualifying period.
Yeah.
Just before the BMW PGA. So I'm sure the closer we get to 2027, they might look at a calendar change back to back with the Wentworth or something like that.
Yeah.
That you've beat two big points events. You come and you play in the two of those, and it'll be co-sanctioned PGA Tour, and there's Ryder Cup points. And yeah, that would be... Like, there's so much to look forward to when we think of it now. The next 3 years, we always think, oh, that's done, that's gone. But, like, huge Irish Opens ahead of us.
Yeah.
Ryder Cup ahead of us.
It's cool. Like, I grew up going to, like, those European Opens at the K Club and different things. And,
exactly.
Like, good memories of going to the Ryder Cup. Like,
big Langer.
Exactly. it's just a cool venue. Like, even when we do our events working at it and all, you see all the... like legendary images across walls and all the history.
It was a pension fund for Per-Olof Johansson for a few years. That's all it was. But yeah, no, it was class.
Very good. I saw you were with an old school buddy of mine as well, Jack Chambers. Shout out to him.
Jack, shout out to Big Jack.
Jack Chambers running the country, me in your hotel bedroom talking shite about
we were asking him questions yesterday about, you know, what the prize fund is and... do you play a bit of golf? What do you play off? And like, he was answering our questions with questions. My brother plays, and do you lads play? And we're like, we're the ones asking you questions, Jack. Now go back in your box. Isn't the doll.
Yeah, literally, this a politician just has to deflect no matter what. What's your favorite color? My favorite color. Yeah.
What would you think?
Yeah,
like, it's not the doll, Jack. But fair play.
No, fair play for turning out. Anyway, we haven't actually seen that much of each other since. Like, before recording this, so, like, tell us about the Masters, I guess. Before we get into the weekend golf, because there wasn't that much to shout about. Like, the Masters must have been a great experience being on site for the week.
10 days away from 4 kids, it was bliss.
Yeah, I could terrible. I'll could be shocked now.
The keys, the locks.
I don't think Laura listens
door.
To this.
No, it was spectacular. It was so good. Like, start to finish, it was just... It always is. It's just a special week. But this time alone... you know, having four Irish guys there, So the previous few years, we've had 2, 3, 1 in the previous Masters I've covered and been there. And it's a handy week, you know. So it's like, it's semi-holidays.
Yeah.
You're doing stuff, you're going around, you're walking on the course. You've one or two lads to follow. But with four this time, it was really good. Harrington really unlucky just to miss out on the cut. Played well.
Poor Rory didn't even know he was there this week.
No, that week. That was funny. Playing practice rounds, you go, what's your man doing here? How did he get in?
He actually said that in the press conference. How did he even get in?
And he says, oh yeah, I realised he played well last year. The amount of messages we got on social media stuff actually can... How's Harrington playing the Masters?
Under the article that I literally write in the article, which I read the articles, educate yourself. It was great to see him in it. And yeah, it could have been four Irish lads having a good weekend.
Yeah, it was three though. To see it, like, to see Seamus Power do what he's doing, like, he's bloomed. We've, you know, everyone in Irish golf has talked about him for a long time, but to see what he's doing on a global scale now, to see him do it in the match play, you know, McGinley got a, you mentioned him earlier on, got a bit of heat. 2 weeks before the event, 3 weeks before the event, I'd like to see Seamus do it in a big event. And
Totally fair as well, because he then missed the cut at Riviera and he didn't play well.
Did well at the match play, momentum into the Masters, just class. To make the cut in your first Masters, follow them around. Like those, there was some crowd from Waterford, like those Power lads that, I know we say bulls. He sponsors them. Yeah, the prize bull were there, right? So them lads were walking around with the blaz. And then the boys that sponsor him, Power.
Yeah,
The energy company. Well, not energy. It's like a construction retrofit company.
Whatever they are, massive.
There's all these boys going around with all their stuff, and they changed his brand into tricolours, and just really big bunch. Really a good house to be in that week.
I'd say it would have been absolutely savage. As you say, to do it around there, having never played it before,
and he knew, like, he was out of the tournament, and we're talking to him like on the Saturday, saying, "Oh yeah, it was," and he goes like, he couldn't be any more excited going in. What do you play for tomorrow? Because it's Sunday at the Masters, Sunday pins. I've never seen these in real life. This is experience. And he was going around looking, see, like, he literally following him a little bit on the Sunday. He was just doing his homework.
Yeah.
He was like, he fully expects to be back there next year, the year after that. So he was doing his homework for future Masters. It's such a good news story. So.
Well, what about our boy?
Ah, stop.
Yeah,
I was cursing him.
So
I tell you what happened, right? I seen the tournament unfold. You're out, like, it's so hard to follow with the crowds around. So I made up my mind that morning. I said, right, I'm going to leave it until the second last group. I'm going to follow Shane. Up 1, 2, 3.
It was a 4, the disaster.
Yeah, 4 was the nightmare. So I'm standing behind him, right? It all happened so quick. Standing behind him, literally 20 yards from him, the 4 tee box, looking straight down the thing. Carves this thing right. And
was it a carve or a shank? Or what
it was just an open flag. Yeah, I think he was hitting 3 or something. That's a long hole. Like, he was trying to cut one into that flag and just come out of it. Did that one bad swing, like, cost him. But, so he does that, and you're just going, my God. Standing there in the tee box, he goes down. We couldn't see. I said, right, I'm not going down there. I'm not going down
to look
for
that.
Yeah, he'd shoot a head off you. So, he's down looking for his ball. Didn't know he'd taken unplayable. Seen him chip out. And I think he chipped into the bunker at the front.
Yeah.
Then on 2 put it, so like treble bogey. But while he was down looking for his ball, so back at the fourth, third green is to your left. You're up in a little hill. You're looking down. Boom, Scotty Scheffler. Little fizzy nipper in there that was going 30 yards long.
I know.
Buried the flag in. And seeing that
was brilliant. Yeah.
And that was the tournament. That was really the tournament, because Cam bogeyed that hole after
that
starting off
such a momentum swinger.
And
yeah,
it was just dead. So I watched Cam and Scheffler then hit into the next. Scheffler went long left, Cam into the bunker, and I'm going, okay, well, these lads are off. So Rory was on his run at the time. So I said, right, I'm going to drop back. Caught Rory putting out on the 8. He birdied that. 9, par, and then followed him 10, birdie that, and I was going, this is on here. So I said, right, I need to keep up with this. So I got off the golf course, went back to the media centre to watch it all unfold. So at least I got to see most of it happen, you know, because you just couldn't keep up with it. But Rory McIlroy, like,
It was classic Rory.
He did, like, he's the ultimate freewheeler, just no consequences. But I'm, as you know, I'm his biggest fan. I'm his big, like, Rory in full flow is phenomenal to watch. But even he admitted himself afterwards, like, he birdied 10.
When he felt like he was first in the tournament was after he birdied 13, I think.
13, yeah, that's what he said. So after he did that in 13. So 14, 15, 16 are the three most gettable flags on the course. And when he felt he was in the tournament, he dropped back.
Well, he got
and
he
admitted
left.
That himself.
He went left off 14, left off 15 means the greens out.
No chance.
Two.
And he done well to salvage pars, but they're birdie holes, they're feeder pins, like, they're, you know, not to birdie 16 on Sunday in the position that he's in. It's a sin, like, it is a sin. It's a bucket you're hitting into, like, it's...
I know, and then, but, like, you walk away from it, you're like, well, what, did we expect him to shoot 59 on Sunday at the Masters? Like,
yeah,
that's
like,
kind of what he would
have
needed to
he
do.
Did. What was it, 64, wasn't it?
64 in
like,
the end.
To chip in at 18, like, it was just such a moment.
That moment, for me, changes the whole... complexion of what he did. I feel like if he had missed the green on 18, knock it up and down for the bunker, and what's that, 66, it just would have been like, ah, oh, here we go, McIlroy backdoor top 10, kind of finishes with a whimper after getting in after 13. I feel like he still thought he had it, like, given his reaction to that, I feel like he thought he had a chance.
Yeah.
And he pulled off a shot that he hasn't pulled off in the heat of battle in Christ knows how long, probably like 8 years since he last won a major. Like, it was the first time he ran through the line.
That's how he's going to win his next major.
Probably.
Is backtracking.
I think the proof of the pudding
is just Scheffler was too good. Scheffler was a disaster.
Scheffler was making me sick. I've never wished such ill will on a man for 4 days.
On a man of God.
God's force field was impenetrable. I couldn't get near him. I was shouting on Cam Smith. He was my pick from the start, but Scheffler was brilliant.
He was flawless, like, absolutely
to win
flawless.
4 out of 6. Like, I thought he was going in there, like, surely he'd burn out, like, having won 3 of 5 and no chance. But yeah, I just think, like, it's the first time that Rory can walk away from a tournament and actually have genuine confidence and belief that he's still good enough to win a major.
Yeah.
He's talked a good game, hasn't delivered for years.
We haven't seen him since.
Yeah. Yeah, well, now, and isn't the gas thing Quail Hollows next week?
Yeah.
So,
driving range
guaranteed
back again
McIlroy
again,
victory.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're running into the PGA, and then what the hell's going to happen?
So boom, baby.
Yeah. It's just, it's going to paint a mad old picture. But no, it was brilliant.
He leaves on a huge positive, as did Shane Lowry left Augusta with a huge positive.
Big,
like,
time.
His
great recovery.
His recovery after that fourth hole was, he's playing some of the best golf of his life, leaving Augusta. Does that for 3 rounds and 3 quarters then the week after at Hilton Head. And I'm sure he is pulling his hair out.
I have.
Just.
Yeah, tied 13th or better, 6 of his last 7 starts, 3 podiums, 2.7 million banked from 10 starts just this season. I agree. How is he not won?
Playing the golf of his life and not won. You know, it's so hard. Momentum in golf, it's the most frustrating thing when you know you're playing as good as anybody in the world and you don't get the job done. Like, the Masters was a big, look at me, chest pump moment. I recovered this. Nobody was really going to beat Scottie Scheffler that week.
No.
But I got as close. I kept him honest all week. Did that. Total different at Hilton Head. That tournament, he handed it back to the field.
When he
back.
Hit the front after 14, I thought, good
he
luck,
was
that's
it.
Over.
Yeah, done. He's going to lap these lads.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that was worrying, to say the least, because his game changed. His game definitely changed. His tempo changed. I don't know what happened.
I felt like he thought he hit a good shot out of that bunker that went into the water. Like, I don't know what
but even
he
before
playing,
that,
but,
he was, like, you know, he was leaving himself in trouble off tees. He was pulling a lot of shots.
Yeah.
Just uncharacteristic of Shane, but he's still, like, he's taken, you know, he was more interested in the colour of his trousers last week than he was afterwards with him and Ian James.
I struggled to warm to that twosome.
I know.
We can talk about this later, but are you just meant to forget that Ian Poulter was, like, pretty much confirmed for this LIV Golf series? Like, you just overlook that and be like, oh, still.
I'm gonna look at the clock now. No. So after four and a bit weeks away, we've lasted 25 minutes without John Craven mentioning Live Golf Investments, the Saudis.
I didn't say the S word.
It was you don't have to. It's written all over you. It's spewing out. It was only a matter of time. Listen, John, I know. You're frothing at the mouth now. We will get to the great white shark now in a few minutes. Soft. We'll have a discussion. Don't worry.
Yeah, gosh, just Poulter. I just can't cope with him. But on that tournament, though, like, it was a good, it's a decent format. I liked it. Or sorry, just this past week, actually. I'm skipping now on my notes. Like, for Hilton Head, yeah, that's long gone in my...
It is. And hopefully it's long gone in chains. He knows he's, like, his ball striking is, off the planet. Like, he just needs to, like, strokes gained approach is where he destroyed in the first three rounds. He went from first strokes gained approach all week. And he wasn't in the top 50 in the final round. Yeah. That's how bad it was.
No, exactly.
On the final round. So it's this little tweak. It's a mental tweak. He will get over the line. He will win big. I loved hearing him after the Masters and his, just saying, he said, I was just talking to Bo coming down the fairway and on the 18th. I just love big events. He loves big, and he thrives in big events. He performs on the biggest stage.
Just because the setups are so hard that the cream rises to the top.
Well, he loves it. He thrives in the, you put him in the Coliseum with a sword, the man turns into the gladiator. He's class.
I was really hoping he would turn into Maximus Aurelius there on Sunday, but...
He will.
He will. No, he will. He already has.
Yeah,
so,
but he'll do it again. Shane will win multiple times this season, I think.
Yeah,
I really think his game is too good now not to. Once he gets through, hopefully it's big events,
Yeah,
onto the PGA in a few weeks. I think he's 3 weeks off now. He's finished, at Sea Island.
Yeah,
Sea Island that they played?
Just gone.
Yeah,
I actually don't know. To be honest, that's my interest in the Zurich Classic. Well, Orleans. I don't know. I think it is Sea Island.
Yeah, but yeah. So he's 3 weeks off now leading up to the PGA.
I did watch a little bit of that tournament. Xander and Cantlay are two of the most uninspiring golfers you could ever watch. Like, if you're a kid, no one wants to be Xander Schauffele or Patrick Cantlay. They just offer nothing. Like, they're unbelievable golfers, but just dead, like, behind the eyes. No emotion whatsoever. Like, that's the reason. And you're giving out to me 25 minutes not mentioned. You went to the Masters. You're the only one to go to Augusta and didn't mention Tiger Woods.
No. Listen, we get the Tiger. The man is breathtaking.
Oh, stop.
It's phenomenal. It's scary what he can do. Getting up close and following around and just seeing him. Seeing how the crowds, the adulation that they showed him. Like, the Monday at the Masters just gone was one of the best days. It was just, it's like they just opened the gates and let anybody in. And there was that many people there to be back to, I don't know how I've avoided COVID coming back. Like, there was so many people. It was mental. And you actually do feel a bit uncomfortable when you're in big crowd. You're going, Jesus, should I be wearing a mask or something here? But they'd probably beat you up for wearing a mask.
USA,
in America.
Baby. Yeah.
COVID lasted 2 weeks in Florida. Like, that was it. But it's seeing what Tiger did. He was always going to fade, I didn't want to get into a Masters chatter, but like, he was always going to fade. To shoot one under par in the opening round was.
He was chuffed as well.
Inhumane. The man can barely walk, and you see him walking, he's walking on the balls of his feet, he's struggling, and like, there was a lot made of the physical endeavour, and like, they turn it into a Cinderella story in the States, the media, they do go a little overboard, but like, the man's in pieces, and very few people shot better than him.
He outscored so many people. It was incredible.
It's crazy. Even like Bryson, I know he had a hand injury at the time, but like, you look at guys talking themselves up in that tournament and stuff. Like, his par 68, I don't know what he shot the first round, but
he was well over par.
Yeah, I think Larry Mize bet him.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Come on, Bryson.
It's tough.
They've come back to haunt him for years to come.
Best luck in your recovery, by the way, Bryson, if you're listening.
Yeah.
Is that enough Masters chat?
Yeah.
Even though, God, you could just talk about it all day.
You
didn't win the Monday draw anyway.
I'm even wearing a Masters top.
Sipping out of his Masters
top. Going around dressed like a mannequin out of the merch tent.
So I am going to move us on to the ISPS Honda in Spain. Just a quick kind of what we've been missing. Pablo Larrazabal won his second event from four starts. His seventh tour title moves him alongside the likes of John Rahm and stuff. I didn't think Pablo had won that much, but he has. Fair play to him.
62
final round to absolutely blitz it.
Baller.
Yeah, no, seriously impressive. Shout out to Eddie Pepperell as well. Final round 65 for a tight 15 finish. You know COVID is coming to an end when Eddie Pepperell's playing good golf, I reckon.
Yeah, he's a car. You know what? Eddie Pepperell will be in his element. I haven't followed it at all. Now that Elon Musk has bought Twitter.
Oh, God, yeah.
It was a really funny sideline story. Driving to the cinema the other day, just on Twitter. Driving to the cinema to go see Sonic 2 with the kids, right? And I'm telling my Ellis, we're going through all this stuff, and like, we were driving by the Amazon factory. This is how the conversation went. Driving by the Amazon factory on the Nace Road, and I said, he then said to me, do you know what the A to Z? Do you know what that arrow is, the A to Z? And I was like, oh, I've been schooled here by a 9-year-old, grand. And I said, do you know who owns that? And I said, I said Jeff Bezos owns it. He makes spaceships and does this. And he says, do you know who owns Tesla? And I just said nothing, and I was like, okay. And he said, and he's the richest man in the world. And I was like, no. And he goes, Elon Musk. And I said, okay, do you know he's buying Twitter? And he was like, no, I didn't know that. And I said, do you know how much he's paying for Twitter? And he was like, no, how much is he paying? I said, guess. And he's like, $1 million. I was like, no,
bargain.
$42 billion. And he's gone, what? She can just download it for free. And I nearly crashed the car. He goes, how is he the richest man in the world if he's spending money like that? I nearly crashed the car. It was so good.
That is so absolutely funny. Priceless.
He could download it for free and he's paying $42 billion.
Oh, God, that's quality.
Just didn't get it.
Ah, the innocence of
youth. Just didn't get it. Didn't
get it. I wish.
But anyway, that was a sideline.
Oh, that's quality.
But Eddie Pepperell, yeah, he loved that Elon Musk has just bought Twitter.
Ah, he will. There's all
free speech and all
there.
That.
Apparently there'll be no free speech. Nah,
the Don will be back within a week.
Exactly, yeah.
That's it.
Live in the place.
Trump will be back. He'll be doing lives now on Twitter.
Twitter's bad enough already. From an Irish point of view, not much happening. Niall Kearney opened with 68, finished 2 over, tied 67th. That's 3 cuts made since Kenya where he had his best result, about 20k banked. But we were talking about Niall.
You love the old bank numbers.
Yeah, I love that. Oh, just 20k banked. I was like, he's having a bad year, 20k banked. It's like, I'm having a bad year. But no, like 3 cuts made since Kenya. He needs points. But as he says himself, the currency out on tour is DP World points. And sadly, he's just not getting into events. So PGA Catalunya this week, $2 million event, and he's now 6th reserve. He was 9th reserve. But we have a couple of days. Hard to see him getting in there. Meanwhile, and no disrespect or anything, but like you have Luke Donnelly getting in as a start there. He's resident professional, is he at PGA Catalunya?
Yeah, I think he is an sponsorship involvement probably with Dennis O'Brien that owns the owns the event. Fair play to him getting in.
It's great for him to get in. He's kind of been struggling, like really on Alps, plays a bit of Euro Pro. Tom McKibben's in there again this week. He seems to be taking advantage of any start he can get these
big
days. And Johnny Caldwell and Charvin are playing as well.
Both boys need big weeks. Especially Caldwell. Caldwell has just come off the rails altogether, hasn't he?
Big time.
Like,
he has been struggling with an injury, but like he had those great chances at the start of the year, $8 million events in Dubai and Abu Dhabi, and
yeah,
it just didn't happen for him at all. Shout out to Brendan Lawler as well. He's headlining the first G4D golf event at the Belfry. That just kind of came into the news there. Saw he was off with Prince Harry teaching him how to play golf. He's really moved up in the world since our chat. Yes,
I know. That's the Invictus Games, or what's it called?
Invictus Games. Yeah. Some awesome golf simulator that they were practicing on. So good man, Brendan. On the women's side over the weekend, like we've missed so much, but like, we missed cuts for Leona and Stephanie at the LA Open. Kind of a bounce factor since winning with Leona hasn't been great, but she's had a couple of, I feel like you have to whisper this when you're in Sleeve Russell, but like she tied 13, tied 12th, and then a best of tied 39th over the last few weeks at the Chevron. I just reckon she's knackered. She is playing a lot of golf. She went to Singapore, went to Thailand, been home, been doing all these media things. I just, like, she will take off again. I just reckon. Yeah, maybe a bit of headspace there.
No, she absolutely will. And it's great to see Steph showing a bit of form. Steph Meadows really starting to show a bit lately.
Yeah, well, like, so I don't know what her card came down to last year. Like, it was 100 quid or something, like literally nothing. So she's had a couple of top 20 finishes. She's 51st on the race to CME Globe. So, like, middle ground. Whereas last year, like, she just couldn't buy a finish at the start of the year. So takes the pressure off big time. And that LA Open, Nasa Hataka, 23 years old, won by 5. And she'd missed the cut the week before. So she did the same. They all bounced back. This is why it's so hard to bet on golf.
Yeah.
Missed the cut at the Lottie, bounced back with a win. Jordan Spieth missed the cut at the Masters, bounced back with a win at the Heritage. Big fan of seeing Jordan Spieth back on a win in Rota. He's just great for the game.
He's like Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Just is up, down, gone, it's finished. Oh, he's back again, won again. He's in the world's top 10 again.
He is just unbelievable.
He's exactly. Box office. We can all relate to him because he just hits absolute howlers on different holes. Like, he plays like we'd play.
Yeah.
But then when he's good, he is just on form. And the mad thing is that win, that was the worst putting week of his career, he was saying.
Yeah.
Like, couldn't buy a putt. But his ball striking was off
missing
the charts.
Like 18-inch putts galore.
That's what the nappy factor, you know? Just
well,
like
no. Well, he denies the nappy factor, actually. I absolutely love... Jordan was like, what's it like? How do you feel playing golf with a kid or whatever? And he's like, the exact same as I felt before.
Now we know why he tried to jump off the cliff in Pebble Beach. You know, the miss was obviously wrecking his head with cravings and go get me this, go get me that.
I thought you were cravings. I thought it was me. I would have sent the family over. He just doesn't believe. For sure, the nappy factor. Like, I remember my brother having kids and had like fucking ball bags under his eyes and all the rest of it. And like, oh, but Colin, you're going to play great golf. Great golf next to him. Like, literally sleep deprived hitting the ball into a shoe. But yeah, no, fair play to Jordan. And on the LET then, Livy Mahaffey, she was playing a lot of Epson, but she wasn't playing a lot of Epson. She'd hoped to be playing a lot of Epson at the start of the year. Only got one start. She's been kind of all over now. South Africa, Australia, and she's playing again in this week in Australia. She was tied 11 last week, final round 68. It was the SA Women's Open where she played well. So the ultimate ambition, obviously, is to get back into America. And she wants to be based in Arizona, so Epson Tour, ideally. Meg McLaren, who's English golfer, really good follow on Twitter. She's outspoken about everything. Goes into real detail about how much it costs to be on tour and all the rest of it. She was playing Epson and decided she'd go over to Australia. She just got something in her loins and she won the event last week.
Yeah.
So it just shows, like, no matter where you are, you can get the job done.
Yeah, golf just get it done.
So yeah, New South Wales Open this week. Mahaffey there again. And then it's back to Spain in May. So more familiar hunting grounds. On then, I guess
sticking with the girls, it's like they're flying. Like,
it's a joke.
Like, Lauren Walsh,
yeah,
that ACC team win and stuff. Like, did you see the putt she held in the last green last week? Like,
unreal. They beat, I think it was Florida State University who beat them in the semi final last year.
The bit between their teeth.
Oh, yeah, absolutely huge. So I think the regionals are next up, and if you finish top four in the regionals, you go to the national finals or something. All around this, like, she's studying for her final exams, and I was actually on the phone to her yesterday because she was called up to Curtis Cup. So the only Irish person on the team, Beth Coulter's second reserve. I don't know how likely that means Beth is to play, but they're playing away in June. It's going to be Lauren's second go around at that
in Marion.
Yeah, in Marion. And then next Tuesday, around exam, she's playing a US Women's Open qualifier at Pinehurst. And she missed it by 2 shots last year. So she likes the course, same course again. Yeah, all systems go. And even Beck Coulter, she won the Ulster Women's Championship. She won the Port Rush Scratch Cup there. Like, that's 2 wins already. There's this new Bridgestone. I don't know if people have been keeping track. Golf Ireland have the new Bridgestone Tours, women and men. So Beck has 2 wins. Flying on the order of merit. And it's just great, full stop, that the men and the women have, like, these full tour playing schedules, I guess. Like, there's so much playing opportunities to have at home. We were chatting a lot to Barry Fenley and Manute in the RNA shooting series just finished up. And, like, that's another one that just so many events for people to play for. It's not America or bust. Like, lots of stuff at home. And kind of on that, the West of Ireland, I was actually away. I was in New York, so I missed the West.
Yeah.
But Alan Fahey came up trumps.
Serious golf.
Yeah, absolutely savage. So he's another Manute man.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Paddy Harrington Scholars. And he credited the great Noel Fox for his win. Says he's turned his swing around. And just talking about like Maynooth, like it's no wonder these lads go well. Like the coaching ticket there is Noel Fox, Johnny Foster, and Donald Scott. So like you're not really gonna get a better coaching ticket no matter where you play golf.
Yeah.
So yeah, fair play to Alan. I think he's gone back to Maynooth to do his Masters.
The format really worked with the West as well.
I think yeah.
54-16. Really, really good.
Yeah.
16 through to the right, like, you know, three rounds.
The more stroke play, the better for these lads if they want to.
Three rounds. Well, you look at the 16 that they got through, like
the cream rises to the top. Like
it really does. It really does. And so that's a really good format. I know a lot of guys have been calling for it on social for years and years, and they seem to be adapting, modernizing our national championships to that sort of stuff, and it's nice to see. Like the West was a big success this year.
Yeah,
it's 99th year. They got new sponsors involved, and I can't remember the name of the guy. It was one of the Audi dealerships down there got involved. Not prepared for these name checks. It's grand.
Go on the Audis.
Buy an Audi and Sligo and you support them anyway. Be grand.
PGA qualifier. God, we missed a fair bit of stuff, Pete. Michael McGeady won that at County Louth. So himself, Brian McCormick Jr., Shane Irwin, Tim Rice, Nicholas Grant and Keith Shannon all qualify for the final event, the Slaley Hall. 55 grand or something up for that. 10 grand for the winner. That's in June. So fair play to them. I feel a bit like a priest at Christmas Mass going through the thank yous at the end, and all the lads are down the back, can we just go home? We have dinner, D.
Don't worry, we're coming to a segment now. You've already got your spoke in. Mad to talk about Live Golf Investments. Just mad to.
Girls under 16 amateur, top 10s for Marina Joyce Moreno. Grace Crawford won it. Top 20 finish for Hannah Guerin and Olivia Costello. Rogenstown Sean Keeley won the Connacht under 16s boys at Galway. Port Rush's Olivia Curry won the girls under 18s. So much golf, like the season's back. Wake Forest, you talk about Lauren Walsh win the ACC.
Yeah, yeah.
Mark Power's
flying.
Yeah, well, he like inspired that comeback in the semi-final or whatever. He was first out, three down after seven. Wins in the 19th. Big fist pump. He let out a big roar. They beat Georgia Tech then in the final. So yeah, well done to him. And then I guess that's it. That's kind of it for the roundup, I think.
There's
an awful lot going on. Now we're into the meat.
Right. Who's looked for exemptions?
How long have?
Pull out the bold boy list.
Robert Garagos. Robert Garagos.
Step forth, Mr. Garagos.
Of all the men, he's just, do I have to? Like, literally.
Why me? Why always me? He's going around with one of those Mario Balotelli t-shirts. That's Phil Mickelson. So I see Phil has put in his permission slip to play.
Yeah. And who would have thunk that he would?
Like,
I think maybe he feels like he's had enough time finding himself wherever he's...
He's also put in his permission slip to go look and play, like, in the US Open. And even though, like, he's exempt to play in them, but he must be suspended.
Has to be
suspended.
Yeah, it was his manager that came out to say all this. But, they think he's going to, like, have set his act of contrition in time to compete for the $25 million in London in June.
It'll kill him. If he doesn't get into that event, it'll kill him to see someone from, like, the Challenge Tour or something like that winning that $25 million event. It'll
See Phil winning half of those events comfortably. And, like, there's nothing that man won't crawl out from under to get a bit of money.
For a few pounds.
Yeah, absolutely. Like... it's interesting. Like 15 of the top 100 apparently have applied for these. That list came out while I was away there a couple of weeks ago. Like West was named on a Poulter, Kevin Na, don't know who else.
But half them still say no. I signed
non-disclosure.
Nothing. I've signed nothing
apart from a non-disclosure agreement.
What you talking about?
They're the lads that you have to suspect, along with I guess Kokrak. And listen, the more I read about it, the less. Well, I was never going to watch it anyway. But the more I read about it, the less I want.
It's becoming kind of irrelevant.
It's
now,
a bit
isn't
of
it?
A joke
it is,
shop.
It is like, a bit of a joke shop. Like Greg Norman is not covering himself in any glory.
Ah, true. Even the embarrassment of like, you know what? I think I'll play the Open this year.
Like,
will you let me
you
play?
You will not. You will not.
The biggest sideshow the Open's ever seen. Absolutely no chance. No, like it's going to be, how much longer can they wait until the names are revealed? Like you're going to have to be waiting on the first tee to see who shows up. Like
everyone's afraid. Everyone is afraid because you're like, these lads messing with their livelihoods. But they're going to do it. They're pulling the trigger. They're doing it. They're going to run whatever amount of events. They're going to give away $25 million. Like,
50 million at the Tour Championship. Like, he's baiting them seriously now.
That's 50 million.
Yeah. Like, to beat Robert Garrigues.
Yeah.
Like, 48 men. Everyone a winner.
And Jason Kokrak.
Yeah.
And Phil. And probably Ricky Fowler.
Yeah.
Like,
the plan, like, as much and all as it's an embarrassment at the minute and the feel that they have, like, sadly, and I accept that this is going to happen, much to my, just dejection. But, like, the business model is going to work. If, for example, Robert Garrigues comes out of his 8-event season this year with $20 million, next year you're going to have half the top 100 playing it.
I still don't know, can they get world ranking points?
Sure, no one knows anything. I don't. You'd be totally guessing. But yeah. I don't think they'd give a shit about Kevin Na. Like, do you want 100 million or do you want 1 million world ranking points? I'll take the $100 million, please.
I'll currently take the world ranking points.
Oh, well, that's the currency.
I
went up to the bar there. Sleeve Russ got two lattes. I'll pay it in two FedEx.
There's two Race to the Boy points and a FedEx Cup point.
It's sad, but like, that's going to be the ultimate test of people. When you see someone who's inferior at playing golf than you are earning 3 or 4 times the amount you are,
that's dude or not.
Yeah, like, that's it. Like, that's going to be the test. You might not get those elite few at the top who, like, they're going to make that money anyway.
Yeah.
And endorsements and all the rest of it. But lads in the middle order there, they'll be quick to jump ship. So, yeah, that's, I guess, like, Phil, Norman, the whole thing. Robert Garrigues.
Everything that's ever looked at Saudi is the villains now.
Villains every week.
Live, golf, investments.
I'm going to do meditation, yoga, trying to prepare myself for ranting about these. I don't have it in me anymore. But yeah, and then in terms of heroes, Pete, I think we were both agreeing to Tiger
Rory. But my first prediction is gone. I did the Rory Slam this year. He's going to win all the majors, and so now he's only going to win 3. But winning 3 majors with a runner-up at the Masters, I think you would have taken that.
Absolutely,
Tiger Woods, superhuman.
He is a superhuman. Nah, like,
not a great family man. Superhuman.
Definitely not. Even though,
we're not going to get into that. Jesus Christ.
Dad of the year.
Jesus Christ.
No, we're definitely not going to get. I was never a big lover of Tiger, though. As a kid, I remember. Like, even at Mount Julia Road.
Wash your mouth out.
I'm proud of the golfer. But, like, even as you ever, like, try to get an autograph off Tiger Woods and he's literally just head down, tunnel vision, not going to go near you. I'm listening to this podcast the minute, Dead Eyes, and it's about this fella who's rejected by Tom Hanks from the hit show Band of Brothers. You know Band of Brothers?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, your man had auditioned for it and he was called back in and Tom Hanks says, sorry, we can't put you in the show because you have dead eyes. And that was the end of it. But this fella, like, for the next 10 years of his life, was just so disheartened and downtrodden because Tom Hanks had said this about him. And, like, it's amazing how something that Tom Hanks has probably never thought about again in his life has affected this lad for 10 years. And on the podcast, this was just a couple of days ago, some lad told a story of David Letterman, the TV host, how when he used to, like, go backstage and, like, walk through tunnel vision to get out to the stage or whatever, he'd refuse to make eye contact with anyone because he knows that the person is just dying to say something to him. And that could have, like, some sort of impact off on his thing.
Yeah.
And so the exact same crack with Tiger Woods, he doesn't want to just be seen to... Like, tunnel if you make eye contact with anyone at that level, or you catch him on a day when he doesn't do this or he doesn't do that and everything. So he just disappoints everyone.
Yeah.
That's just his way. Apart from JP and Dermot Desmond, who after that tunnel vision at the Masters, he was like, JP, hey, what's the crack? Good to see you, buddy. I'll definitely be in Limerick. So yeah, Tiger's the hero.
Yeah.
And that's the way it's always going to be.
Oh, 100%. I think that's it, is it?
It's enough for me. I'm low on gusto. We've had a long day.
We have had a long day.
Pete's fallen asleep. His bed's about 4 foot away from him. I'm calling Oklahoma. Get me out of here.
That's it on the pod for this week. We will be back next week. We won't take a long hiatus like that. The holidays are done and all. So you can keep up with all the latest golf news on irishgolfer.ie. We do have the next event of our Irish Golfer series up this Friday on in Ratsala, so you can visit irishgolfer.ie/events and have a look at that. But Jonna, it's been a pleasure as always.
Thank you very much. It's great to be back.
And cheers for all you for listening, and yeah, we'll chat to you again next week. Talk to you soon.